All right, let's stand for the honor of reading God's word today. We're going to begin a new series called Never. Never too late, never too soon, never too far, never too close, never too young, never too old. Today we're going to look at never too young and never too old. A couple of passages we'll look at this morning. Jeremiah chapter 1, starting at verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. The next passage, this is when the angel had come to speak and tell them that they were going to have a child, and they are later in years. Luke 1:36, and behold, your relative Elizabeth, this is when the angel Gabriel has spoken to Mary and said, you're going to be with child. And then her relative Elizabeth, who was an older lady, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, Lord, that we're never too young and we're never too old for you to use us for your glory and your purpose. So God, help us to hear from you. I ask that you'd help me to preach plain and clear, Lord, today, so plain that a child can understand. I realize that there is a heavy judgment on my life and dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we think of people old and young who have made impact or been successful in life, we can go to just people in American history. So Duncan Hines. How many of y'all have ever heard Duncan Hines? Right? Well, at age 55, he wrote his first food and hotel guides. And then at age 73, he licensed the right to use his name to the company that developed Duncan Hines cake mixes. Sam Walton. Sam Walton, although he had owned a few chain stores when he was younger, he opened the first true Walmart in 1962, when he was 44. Julia Child, her first cookbook was published when she was 39, but she made her television debut, The French Chef, at age 51. How many of you all watch Spider-Man? Stan Lee, he created his first comic, The Fantastic Four, just shy of his 39th birthday in 1961. The next few years, he created the legendary Marvel Universe, whose characters such as Spider-Man and the X-Men became American cultural icons. Betty White. How many of y'all watch The Golden Girls? Yeah, Betty White. Betty White is one of the most award-winning comedic actresses in history, but she didn't become an icon until she joined the cast of The Mary Tyler Moore Show in 1973 at age 51. And then our very own Harland Sanders, known as Colonel Sanders, was 62 when he franchised Kentucky Fried Chicken in 1952. And everybody said, amen, God bless you, Colonel. We are thankful for you. But it's not just older people that make a difference and have success as the world sees it. There's 11-year-old Frank Epperson invented what we've come to know as a popsicle. Yeah. And George Neeson, at age 16, invented the trampoline. And then no American woman had ever won a gold medal in gymnastics before the 1984 Summer Games, but there was a 16-year-old girl named Mary Lou Retton who accomplished that goal. Now, when we think about success in life, when we think about achieving things, in our cultural worldview, we see success as being accomplishing something great, significant, where people know about it, starting a business, making a lot of money, becoming famous, doing something where everybody knows who you are. But when we look at the Christian perspective of what it means to be successful, it is not based on how much money we make, how many people know us, does the world acknowledge our accomplishment. When we think about being successful in the cultural, in our Christian worldview, it is, have we been faithful to God, and have we lived out the purpose that God has placed in each of us? And so David Brainerd, you may have never heard his name. In 1718, he was one of the first missionaries to translate and carry the good news of Jesus to the Native Americans of New Jersey in their own language. He was had such passion for missions and evangelism to these native peoples because he believed that the only hope for them was salvation in Jesus and in him alone, and that no one is saved apart from Christ. So he gave his life in mission work, and he inspired multiple other missionaries such as William Carey. He was born in 1761, heavily influenced by Brainerd's writings. He is known as the father of modern missions. He had 41 years of ministry to the country of India. He was the first Baptist preacher that believed and heralded the truth that the Great Commission is a commission for every generation, that every generation is challenged to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. A young lady of the South that was above her time, she had gotten a master's degree. She lived in the Civil War era. Her name was Lottie Moon. And she had been proposed to get married, and she turned that marriage proposal down because her sister was in China, and she felt a calling and a pull to be a missionary to the Chinese people. And there she would invest the rest of her life there among the Chinese people, teaching young girls and making baked cookies, and the smell of the cookies would draw people to her home, but also engaging in personal evangelism on the streets of China, because she had a passion to share the good news with people who were lost and did not have a relationship with Christ. And in her longing to see God work and have movement among peoples from the Chinese people, she would wrote back letters that the Southern Baptist Convention needs to send more missionaries. We need more missionaries. We need more missionaries. And we need funding for missionaries. If you can't go, then help send money to support it. And she started what was called the Women's Missionary Union, called the WMU. Now, those are people that you may have never heard of, but God knows who they are because they have invested their life in service to the gospel, and they lived out the purpose of God. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1 that God said, we believe this to be the Godhead speaking here, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And so it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. And there's more in the sixth day. In the creation story, we are told that there is a creator God of heaven that created an entire universe and a place called earth. And he filled it with beautiful things, trees, livestock. And he said it was good. But then he said something was very good. And that was when he created man in his own image. And then he gave mankind the authority and the power of dominion over all of his creation. Now, God in his sovereignty could have set up the world in any way he saw fit. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. But he chose to create mankind in his image. And he gave mankind the responsibility to steward and govern over all his creation. He gave mankind that special acknowledgement that we are to be the image bearers. We are to reflect the glory of God, that we are to represent and show forth the glory of God on the earth. And so because God has done that, and that's how he has chosen to do it, mankind is meant to have a relationship with God and to worship him and to glorify him. He's given that task to humanity. So therefore, God has chosen to use people. And if God has chosen to use people, and I'm a person, then God has chosen to use me. He's chosen to use you. So I want you to do something that I know some of you probably do, but you don't want to admit it. I want you just to talk to yourself. Just from anybody ever talk to yourself?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Because there's, you know, sometimes you just got to talk to somebody smart, don't you? So you just got to talk to yourself. And and so just say, God can use me. Ready? That wasn't very good. Let's try one more time. Ready? God can use me. He can use you. He can use me. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. You're never too old. You're never too young to be used by God. God wants to use you. And we're going to look at scripture verses of how God uses us when we're young and when we're old, and how God wants to use you. We won't go back to the Jeremiah passage, but the Jeremiah passage that we read when we stood up is that God told Jeremiah, I formed you in the womb. I knew you. I consecrated you. I've given a purpose for you. You're going to be a prophet to my people, and you're going to preach. And what's his excuse? I'm too young. And God says, don't say you're too young. Why? Because you're never too young to be used by God. Never too young to be used by God. And he says, you're going to go and you're going to say what I tell you to say. Now, if we were to look at Jeremiah's life through a secular lens of success, we'd look at his life and we'd say, he was a failure. You know, he preached and no one ever listened. He couldn't get anybody to go to his church. He would preach the judgment of God, repentance, and they laughed at him, they mocked him. They refused to listen. And so if you're looking at it from a world perspective, Jeremiah was a failure. He didn't do anything. But from a heavenly perspective, from God's viewpoint, Jeremiah was very successful. Because you know what? Jeremiah was successful because he accomplished the purpose of God for his life. You know what his main focus was? The chief duty of man. Like, what are we supposed to do? When we all boil it down to one thing, when we sum it up, here is the duty of man. What is it? Very good. Fear God and follow his commands. That's it. Like, how do I be successful in life? You reverence God, you fear him. You have a personal relationship with your creator. You acknowledge that you're dependent on him. You believe in Jesus and the death, burial, and resurrection. He is your Lord. You fear and reverence him, and you follow his commands. And if you do that, guess what? In God's eyes, you're successful. Doesn't matter what the world says is successful. Matters what God says. In Daniel, we are introduced to Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they had been captured. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, came in and they completely They destroyed their temple. They took them as captives. And Nebuchadnezzar took all of the young men who were attractive and smart and put them into his school. So they were placed into a Babylonian education where they had to learn a pagan religion. They had to learn a new language. And they were in an environment that was not a God-honoring environment. And they said, we're still going to worship the Lord. That we're not going to allow the cultural influence around us to hinder us, sway us, or stop us from serving our God. And so in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but Daniel resolved, the New American Standard says, made up his mind. Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Now, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we're not bowing down. We're not serving God. We're not going to worship him. We're not going to worship your pagan idols. We're not going to worship the king. We're not going to see that our sustenance comes from the king's hand, because we know that our God is the one who sustains us. Our God is the one who has delivered us. He's the one that keeps us. He's the one that gives us what we need. And so they resolved, I'm not going to defile myself. They were probably in their late teens, okay? Young men who had a made-up mind. I tell you what, we need some teenagers today and some young adults to have a made-up mind, to have a resolve that we're not compromising our faith, that we're not going to bow down to the cultural influences around us, that it doesn't matter what happens and what everybody accepts and says is okay, I'm going to fear God and follow his commands. If I'm at a party and there's alcohol that gets brought out or there's drugs that gets brought out, I'm not sticking around. I'm out. See ya, because I've made up my mind that I'm not going to defile myself. And if I'm in an environment where all this stuff's happening, guess what I'm going to be tempted to do? Do it. If I'm in a dating relationship and the person I'm dating is kind of trying to pressure me to do things that I shouldn't do and trying to make me compromise my standards, I'm going to draw a line in the sand because I'm going to have a resolve enough and a made up mind to say, I'm not crossing that line. I'm not going to defile my God. My purpose is to fear God and follow his commands. I'm not going to worry about what all the culture says. And I know it's really tempting, because we live in a cultural age through social media where everybody wants to get TikTok famous, or they want their Instagram to go viral and everybody like it, and they want to become the social media influencer where they're the ones influencing how we should think, how we should dress, how we should talk, and all these things. And we need a young generation, because you're never too young to be used by God. We need a young generation to stand up and say, you know what, I'm not going to let the world influence me. Rather, I'm going to be the influencer rather than the influencee. And no matter what our culture says, no matter what the media says, no matter what's going on in our society, I'm not going to bow my knee to what people say. I have a made-up mind that I'm going to follow Christ. And you're never too young to make a stand. You're never too young. Elementary schools, never too young to be used by God. Middle schools, never too young. High schools, college campuses. If you're in college, man, great time to be used by God, right? When you're in college, you have an opportunity to be used by God in ways maybe that you never will. You don't have to use your college days to go wild. Now, you can go to college and get into all kinds of foolishness, right? Have you all realized that college provides opportunities for a lot of foolishness? There's a lot of ways you can get yourself in a mess in college. But you don't have to. In college, you can decide that I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to use my college years to invest in what God wants me to do. I'm going to say yes to the Lord and let him use me, and I'm going to be an influence on my campus. I'm going to get involved in ministry on campus. I'm going to allow God to use my life while I'm in college for his good, for his glory, for his honor, for his purpose. How do I do that? I'm going to make up my mind now, because I'm never too young to be used by God. You might say, well, I don't have any gifts and talents. There's nothing that God can use. He can't use me. I mean, I don't have the ability to talk. I don't have the ability to sing. I don't have the ability to, I feel like I don't have anything. Well, I got good news for you, because there's a story in the Bible when Jesus is preaching to a crowd of people. There's over 5,000 people there. And it's getting late, and Jesus is wondering, how are these people going to eat? He gets worried about them. And so he sends his disciples. He says, you all go get food to feed them. They're like, how are we going to get enough food to feed all these people? And then the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? It's like, well, we went around to see if anybody's brought any lunch, if we have any food, and we found one little boy whose mom packed him a Lunchable. And it's like, that seems so insignificant. How's one boy's sack lunch going to feed 5,000? But the one thing this little boy did, because you're never too young to be used by God, is he was willing to use what was in his hands, just to use what he had. Wasn't much, wasn't a whole lot, but in the hands of Jesus, it became more than enough. Because he multiplied what that boy had, and he was able to feed that entire crowd, and guess what? They even had some leftovers that they took up. You see, we think that we got to be a preacher to be used by God. That's not true. But then, well, if I can't sing, I can't be used by God. That's not true. God can use every single one of you for his purpose. You just got to use what's in your hand. Just use what you got. You don't have to be the most talented, most gifted. Just be available. Just say, yes, God. Whatever you want from me, it's yours. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I just need to surrender my life and say, Lord, just use me. However it may be, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I'll just be used by God. There's a story of a little maiden in 2 Kings chapter 5. We don't even know her name. She was an Israelite. She'd been taken captive, and now she is a servant for this commander named Naaman. So she becomes a servant. She doesn't complain about her situation. She doesn't gripe about how she felt like God's abandoned her. She's concerned about the one now that she serves, because her commander, the king, has leprosy. And she knows the power of God. And so she lets Naaman know that if you would go and see a man by the name of Elisha, he could heal you. And the story goes, Naaman goes, he dips in the water, and he's healed. And all this girl did was have compassion for somebody and point them to the Lord. Her name's not known. She didn't have a huge following. There wasn't a lot of likes on her page, but there was one in heaven who knew exactly what her name was, and her name's recorded in the book of life, and she's rewarded greatly in the kingdom of God because she's loved by God, and she was used by God. There's another young lady in the Bible. She was greatly used by God. Now, there will never be anyone that will be able to be used like she was used. But I want you to hear her heart. Her name is Mary. Mary's a young lady. And the angel, Gabriel, comes and says, you are going to be with child, that the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and you are going to birth the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Okay? Now, here's her response, and I want you to notice her response in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary said, behold, I am what? The servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. Notice her attitude. I am a what? I'm a servant. You see, you're never too young to be used by God if you will recognize that you're just a servant for the Lord. And so when God prompts you or leads you or calls you or steers you in your life, just say, Lord, I'm your servant. I want to be used by you. Whatever it is you want me to do, that's what I'll do. And I'm just will make myself to be available for what your purpose is for me. You're never too young to be used by God, but you're never too old to be used by God either. Aren't you glad of that? Some of us are getting closer to that older category. Amen. Aren't you glad to know that you're never too old to be used by God? How many of y'all know how old Noah was when he was commanded to build the ark? Anybody want to take a? Don't Google it real quick. 500 years old. He's 500 years old, and he's going to start building a boat. How many of you all know how old Moses was when he was called to deliver the Israelites out of the hands of Pharaoh? 80 years old. He was 80 years old when God called him to confront the most powerful man on earth at that time. And at 80 years old, he went to the most powerful empire, to the most powerful man, and he said, let my people go. He was used by God. All through Scripture, we see that God uses people no matter how old they are. Naomi was a lady that had two sons and her husband, and they moved away from their land, and her husband and her two sons both died and left her as a widow and no children. Now, Naomi could have gotten bitter. She could have gotten angry and said, I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe God has allowed this to happen. And she could have felt abandoned and alone. She doesn't. She encourages her daughter-in-laws to go find a husband. But one of them says, no, I'm staying with you. Your God's going to be my God. Your people's going to be my people. Her name is Ruth. And Ruth will then, through advice and through Naomi, she will end up encountering a man by the name of Boaz, who will be the kinsman redeemer, which then will in turn put Ruth in the lineage of Jesus. Just because they're available and allowing God to use them. Just ordinary people doing extraordinary things because God is using them. There's a lady in the New Testament in Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Her name is Anna. It says, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. So she gets married at a young age. She's married for 7 years, and then her husband dies. verse 37. And then as a widow, until she's 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. This lady, she's married for 7 years, her husband dies, and then she then dedicates her whole life into service to God, and she's worshiping, she's praying, she's fasting, and she's telling people about the coming Messiah. As people are going by the temple, she's probably sharing over and over again, hey, there's a Savior, there's a Messiah that's coming. And in Luke's gospel, she gets to witness and she gets to see, know that Jesus has been brought to the temple. His parents have dedicated him to the temple, and she witnesses that. And then it says in verse 38, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, telling people, the Messiah has come. Our hope is here. The redemption of Jerusalem is now here. And she allowed her life to be one that glorified God all through her life. Because we're never too old to be used by God, and we're never too young to be used by God. And what we're hoping to do, especially for those of us who have children, through our children's ministry, through our youth ministry, through all that we do, it would be great if you allow God to use you all throughout your life. Amen? As young and old. There's a character in the Bible by the name of Caleb. And in Numbers 13, 30, it says, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are able to overcome it. Now, what's that talking about? Now, you remember, as God delivered the people out of Israel, he promised them Canaan. I'm going to give you a land. It's going to flow with milk and honey. And so Moses gets these 12 special agents together, and they have this special op of spying out the land. You remember? So there's 12 spies that go, and they spy out the land. And when they come back, 10 of those, they say what? Forget about it. I mean, have you seen those guys? Those guys are so big, they're so tall. We look like grasshoppers. You seen the fruit? It's huge, gigantic. We can't do it. There's no way God's brought us out here and we're not able to do it. But there were two that had a different kind of attitude, and their name was Joshua and Caleb. And what did they say? They said, whoa, wait a minute. No, not so fast. If God said that this land was ours, and if God said we could do it and we could accomplish it, then it's ours and we can accomplish it, because God is greater than our enemies that we see. And because of that, God said, that generation, you're not going to enter the promised land. So there was a whole generation who didn't get to enter the promised land, the ones that got delivered from Egypt. There was a group that didn't get to go in the promised land except for two, and that was Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they had a different type of spirit. It says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. It says it again in Deuteronomy 14, that Caleb had a different type of spirit and that he followed me fully. How did Caleb live? He lived out what Solomon said in there in Ecclesiastes 12, that when all is said and done, what's the duty of man? Fear God and follow his commands. Caleb had a reverent fear of God, and he followed his commands. If God said we can do this, we can do this. And he believed it. And that's how he lived. All throughout our life, here's what we need to do. We never need to get jaded by life's hurts and wounds. And as we get older, sometimes we forget God. And and we get hardened. But we need to have that fresh renewal, that spirit, that different spirit, that one that obeys God fully all throughout our lives, because we're never too old to be used by God. As you age, you may think, well, God's done with me. He can't use me anymore. I can't do what I used to do. There's nothing that I can offer God. Can I tell you, you never retire as a Christian. You don't retire your Christianity. Whew, been a Christian for 50 years, and in a couple more years, I'm going to retire, and I'm not going to serve God anymore. You don't do that. You serve God all the days of your life, right? So Caleb, he has this different type of spirit, right? He's 40 years old when he's spying out the land and he comes back, okay? So they go in, they start conquering the lands, okay? They start conquering the land that God had promised them. There's still battles that they got to fight, and they're getting their land and their territory. Well, Caleb still hasn't gotten his land yet. And so he goes to Joshua, and he reminds Joshua of the promise of God, that God was going to give him the hill country. And it says there in Joshua 14, verse 10, and now behold, this is Caleb talking to Joshua, now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke his word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am this day 85 years old. Hey, have I told you, you're never too old to be used by God? 85 years old. He says, I'm still as strong today as I was in that day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now, give me this hill country, he says. Or as the King James Version says, give me this mountain. It belongs to me. God said it was mine. I'm ready to fight for it. He's 85 years old, and he still has this attitude. If God says it's mine, it's what? It's mine. He says, so give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunne, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunne, the Kenizzite, to this day, because, here it is, he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. His life was one that he feared God, and he followed his commands. He allowed his life to be used by God when he was 40 and when he was 85. When he was 40 and he was saying, if God said that we can have this land, we can have it. He had that same type of attitude when he was 85, when he said, God promised me this mountain. And if he promised me this mountain, it's mine. You're never too young, you're never too old to be used by God. Now, what does that look like in our day-to-day life? Here's what we need to break down. You don't have to be a preacher to be used by God. You can be used by God every single day. God can use you in your profession for his glory. In fact, God uses multiple professions. Notice the people that we talked about in the Bible, they weren't all preachers, were they? And so God gifts us. He gives us talents. He gives us passions, okay? So there's some of you that are an educator. You work with educating people. And God wants to use you through your the way that he has shaped you. So when you have a classroom, man, you have an opportunity. It doesn't matter what you do in life. What you do becomes a mission, an opportunity for God to use you. Doesn't matter if you're a farmer or a pharmacist. Doesn't matter if you're a teacher or a preacher. Doesn't matter what you do. It matters the attitude you take with you every day. God, will you just use me? Just make yourself available to God. Lord, just use me. Today I'm going to work, and help me be aware of the people around me that I might need to pray for. Help me to be aware of the people that I work with that doesn't know you, Lord. When you go to school, my friends, who's my friends that need to know the Lord? Start praying for them. Invite them to church. Oh, they wouldn't want to go to church. Well, how do you know? They may. Have you asked them? Every day we have opportunity. College campuses. Opportunity. So let's have a little evaluation time. You ready? This is not to be stated out loud. This is just in your mind. Here you go. You ready? I want you to think about this during our invitation. Okay? Here you go. Here it is. On a scale from 1 to 10. 10 being, man, I am available for God to use me every single day, and I walk in an awareness where I want God to use me all the time. Okay, so like I am living out God's purpose every day, every moment. I am there. That's a 10. 1 being, I really never think about God much throughout the day, except on Sunday. And then on the weekday, I'm so busy, I'm so rushed, that I'm just living my life in such a frantic pace that I never pause to even wonder if God's using me or how God could use me. Okay, that's a 1, and the 10 being that. On a scale from 1 to 10, where do you feel like you are in allowing God to use you? Don't have to answer that out loud. Just think about that. On a scale from 1 to 10, where are you in allowing God to use you? Now, if it's a number that you're not happy with, then during invitation time, that'd be a great time just to pray to the Lord, have some alone time with God. Maybe you come to the altar, maybe you just pray there at your seat. And you say, God, I want to be used by you. I know I'm not too young, and I know I'm not too old for you to use me. So help me to be mindful that I have been created to know you and to make you known, to glorify you, to fear you, and to follow you. And so help me to be aware every day of how you want to use me, and may I be available. Let's pray. Lord, today,